The reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. And I think it's on page 886. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Brilliant, Vicky, thank you for reading for us. It would be really helpful if you keep your Bibles open there at John chapter 1. And I'm just going to ask for God's help as we come to think about this passage together this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God who speaks. Thank you that you have made yourself known in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, would you thrill our hearts this morning with him? Lord, would you expand our vision of who he is and all that he has come to do? For your glorious name's sake, we pray. Amen. Brilliant. Well, as we move into this Advent season and we start getting in the festive spirits, getting the Christmas tree up. Has anyone got their Christmas tree up at home yet? Yeah, well, yeah, good few of you. It's a wonderful tree we've got over here. So thankful for those who've been involved in getting that up. As we start buying and wrapping our presents, I'm always impressed by people who've got all their presents sorted by this point in the year. I'm much more last minute. And as we start making mince pies and gingerbread houses, donning the Christmas jumpers, good to see a few of them around the room this morning. It is a great season, a really joyful season, isn't it? But it's very easy in the midst of all of that to lose sight of what it's really all about, isn't it? And so over the next few Sundays, we're going to be spending some great time in John chapter 1, really digging deep into the profound and world-changing events of what was going on at that very first Advent season. Just as we've been thinking about the true meaning of the world and why the world is the way it is, as we've spent time in Genesis over these past few weeks, actually this first chapter of John's Gospel is almost a continuation of that series. It reveals more foundational realities about the world that we live in and about the God who has come to save and rescue. Now, I wonder, as you think about Christmas time, and when you think about that very first Christmas time, what is the picture or the image that comes to your mind? Perhaps it is the wise men on their way, following the star. Perhaps the scene that comes to mind for you is the stable scene, with the animals and Joseph and Mary. Or perhaps your mind instantly goes to the little baby Jesus there in the crib. Now, of course, these are all important parts of the Christmas story, aren't they? But if we get too focused in on them, even if we focus right in on that little baby, we can lose sight of what's really going on and how profound it is that the one in the manger is not just any baby. If the mental picture we have of Jesus at Christmas time is limited to the cute and the cuddly babe in the manger, then we're really missing out on the wonder and the enormity of what is going on. And that's why John starts his gospel where he does, because he wants to blow our minds with who this one who has come into the world really is. John takes us right back to the beginning, not just the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry as Mark does in his gospel. Nor does he start with the angelic visits to Elizabeth and Mary foretelling the birth of John the Baptist, like Luke does. Neither does he write a genealogy to show us Jesus' human family heritage with David and Abraham as his family tree, like Matthew does. All really, really important things. Now, John takes us right back to the very beginning, before the world even began, before time itself even existed. And as he does that, he invites us to ponder the mind-blowing wonder of Jesus the eternal Son of God, the Word of God, as he calls him here, taking on flesh, becoming a man in order to reveal God fully to us and in order to rescue. That's what we're going to be digging into today and in the coming weeks. And we're just going to be focusing our time this morning on verses 1 to 3. And in these verses, John gives us three truths about Jesus to ponder in this Advent season. The first is that Jesus is much older than you think. He predates time itself. The second is that Jesus is much more important than you think. He's God himself. And the third is that Jesus is much more powerful than you think. He made the universe that he now comes into. Firstly, Jesus is much older than you think. Verse 1, in the beginning, John writes, was the Word. Now that word is how John is describing Jesus in this chapter. We'll think more about why he's doing that later on. But John is deliberately echoing the words of the very first verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, and verse 1, which says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So by using this same language, John is setting us up to engage with and think about our ultimate origin story. He wants us to see that when Genesis 1 verse 1 talks about God, the God who was there before the world was made, the one who created every aspect of it, he wants us to see that Jesus was there too. In the beginning was Jesus. Jesus is not just some bloke who was born 2,000 years ago in a stable. He went on to teach some good stuff. No, he is the ultimate reality of the universe, the one where it all began. That's the Jesus who took on flesh, who came as a baby. The start of his story isn't found in the womb of Mary or in the manger in Bethlehem, but way back before the beginning of time itself. Isn't that just incredible? That this eternal being, the one who was there even before time began, would willingly confine himself and limit himself to space and time and come in this tiny little package. That he would willingly enter into our frail humanity. Now, let's not pretend that that is easy to get your head around. It isn't. We're so familiar with it if we've been around Christian things for some time. But when Jesus was speaking to some religious leaders later on in John's gospel, he was trying to tell them this exact reality, that he predates them and predates time, and it really didn't go so well. If you just flip over to John chapter 8, verses 57 to 59. The Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And how do they respond? Verse 59. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Jesus' claim didn't go down very well, did it? And that is because it was so hard to understand, but it was not just a claim to be really old. It was a claim to be God himself. Abraham had lived many centuries before this historical moment, but Jesus is clear. I was there before him. Now, does anyone know how old the oldest person alive today is? Any guesses? 114, a bit older. We're getting there. It's 118 years old, almost 119. That's the oldest woman who's alive today. The oldest verified person who's lived in current records is 122. But if we add a few thousand millennia to that, a few hundred thousand millennia to that, well, then we're getting close to the age of Jesus. Which means as we come to Jesus and we follow him, we are involved in something eternal. Something that goes way back beyond our history, way back even beyond the history of the world. Our church in the great span of history is something you could blink and miss, isn't it? And yet, we are involved in a work that has its roots way beyond time eternal, going back that direction, and that will continue into eternity. That's what we're involved with as a church. Something that spans all of history. That's because according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, God has a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ. And we are involved in that plan. We're involved in this eternal purpose of God. So as we remember this Advent time, that Jesus is much older than we think, that he predates time itself, we need to remember Christianity isn't a fad that he is here today and gone tomorrow. But no, we are involved in something of eternal significance. It means Jesus can't be limited to any of our normal categories of thinking. He's not simply a man. He's not just a good teacher or even a prophet of God. That brings us to our second point this morning. Jesus is much more important than you think. Jesus is much more important than you think. Because John goes on, doesn't he? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this short verse is revealing some deep and profound reality about the God of the universe. It shouldn't surprise us that when it comes to the ultimate being in the universe, the one who was there before anything else, that it is a little bit tricky to understand. Let's just acknowledge that. Because John makes two statements about Jesus that are both astonishing and absolutely true. He says, in the beginning, the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus, was God. Taken on their own, they're both massive claims, but in combination, they make us scratch our heads, don't they? And go, well, how can they both be true? How could Jesus be with God and be God? Well, let's break it down. The first half, that the Word was with God, is describing an eternal relationship between God, the Father, and the Word, Jesus. John 17, verse 24, gives us a deeper insight into the kind of relationship that they have. As Jesus prays to God the Father, he says this to him, "You loved me before the foundation of the world." You loved me before the foundation of the world. So eternity past for Jesus didn't consist of nothingness or emptiness. It wasn't a place where gods were battling it out for divine supremacy, or an awkward interaction between two strangers who happened to be there. No, it was an intimate relationship of divine love. That's what was happening before the world was made. God the Father was loving God the Son. God the Son was loving God the Father. And the Holy Spirit was there too. And they were in this intimate relationship of divine love. That, according to the Bible, is where the world and its origins comes from. Now, when we combine that with John's second claim that the Word was God, we see that the very essence of the God of the universe is this divine relationship of love. Because Jesus, the Word of God, is 100% God. That's what John wants us to hear here. He is utterly united with God the Father. He is fully God, yet he is also distinct from him. This means that everything that is true of God the Father is true of him. So much so that later in John's Gospel, Jesus can say to his disciples, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father and the Father is in me." They are intimately connected. So that when we look at Jesus, when we learn of him, we are learning about the God of the universe. And I think this is helps us as we contemplate why is John chosen to use this strange word, the word, to describe Jesus here. This is unique to John and his gospel. He is saying that God's means of communicating himself to the world, his full and final revelation of himself, is found in Jesus. If you want to know about God, you want to know what God is like, will you come to the God-man, Jesus Christ? You learn of him and you learn all you need to know of the God of the universe. Jesus is much more important than we think. In Hebrews chapter 1, thinking along this line of God communicating to the world, at the very beginning of Hebrews, it says this: long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus is the word of God because he communicates God's word, his will, to us fully. Now, when you or I speak, the words that come out of our mouths belong to us, don't they? You can't separate them from us. They show others what we're like, what we think is important. They represent us. Yet they are, in a sense, distinct from us. They're utterly tied to our character and our passions and our hearts, but they aren't us. And that's the same with God the Father and God the Son, the Word. They're utterly united, and yet they are distinct persons. With God the Father and his eternal Word, Jesus, there's an even deeper connection. They are utterly tied together such that Jesus fully communicates all that God is to us. He shares the same divine nature and essence. They are inseparable, and yet they are distinct. And verse 2 underlines that, doesn't it? He was in the beginning with God. Now, in this Advent season, that encourages us, doesn't it, to appreciate the richness and the depth and the wonder of who God is. God isn't simple. It does require us to reflect, to contemplate, to wonder, to meditate. So let's fill our hearts and minds afresh with the good news that in the coming of Jesus, God himself has come down. The one who has all wisdom, who has seen all things because he's eternal, has come to make the love, mercy, grace, and truth of God fully available and fully known. As we contemplate the baby in the manger, let's not underestimate his power. Let's not just see the fragility of that little baby, but let's see that in the coming of Jesus, in that form, is contained all the fullness of God. And as he grows, he makes God fully known. That brings us to our final point this morning. Jesus is much more powerful than you think. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, in every age, there is a desire to dig into this question. Where did we come from? Where did it all begin? How did the universe come into existence? What kick-started it all? Greek philosophers at the time John was writing were searching for the origin of things, the first cause. Aristotle posed the question, what is the beginning? Same Greek word as John chapter 1, verse 1. What's the beginning and what is the origin of the things that are made? And in our own day, there's a similar search for understanding, isn't there? Of how what we see around us came to be. Scientists theorize about the Big Bang from which our world began. But if you push back far enough, you keep going on that line of thinking, you still hit the question, yes, but how did the Big Bang start? Or what set that in motion? Or how did the elements and the chemicals necessary to make the Big Bang happen appear in the first place? You're still left with the question of where does it come from? And the Bible's very clear answer to that question is God. God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And most specifically here, John wants us to know that Jesus, the Word of God who's becoming flesh, he is the one who made all things, that there is not a single part of this universe that exists apart from him. From the giraffe to the great white shark, he made it. From the highest mountain peak to the deepest depths of the ocean, he made it. From the tiny intricacies of the atom to the vast reaches of the universe, he made it. So the wonder of the incarnation, which is the technical word for Jesus coming to earth as man, is that the creator, the one who made it all, is stepping into his own creation. The maker of the universe is becoming a man. A bit like a film director playing a cameo role in the film he's directing, like Stan Lee appearing in all the Marvel films and Peter Jackson who pops up in the Lord of the Rings films at various points. In the incarnation, the creator of the universe steps into his own creation. The difference, though, is when the maker comes, he doesn't just kind of take a walk on part. He takes center stage. He takes the leading role. The question for us this Advent, then, is will we let Jesus, the Word of God, take center stage in our lives? We've seen his power. He made everything. We've seen how important he is. He is God himself. Will we listen to the message that the Word of God came to bring? Will we see him and acknowledge him as the eternal Son of God who made everything? Will we let him be enough for us this December time? Because there is so much that might grab our attention, isn't there, in the coming weeks? There's so many competing priorities in our lives at this time of year. Family and festivities, parties and presents, shopping and carol singing. But in the midst of all that, let's let Jesus, the Word of God, take center stage. As we look to his earthly beginnings, let's look back further still and delight in him as the beginning, the ultimate source of all. As we enjoy relating with family and friends, let's wonder at the God whose image we bear, the one who is himself a loving union of Father, Son, and Spirit. The Word who was with God and was God. And as we create and wrap gifts for one another, let's pause to contemplate that the only reason that matter itself exists is because Jesus made it. And he's now come himself as the greatest of all gifts. Well, let me pray that that would be our heart this Christmas time, this Advent season, that we would see the Word of God for all that he is. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that your Son, the Lord Jesus, is the eternal Word of God. Thank you that he was with you in the beginning. Thank you that he is fully God. And that as we see him, as we learn of him, we learn what you are like. Father, please help us in the midst of the busyness in the coming weeks to let Jesus be center stage in our lives. Lord, please, would you blow our minds afresh at the wonder of the eternal Son of God taking on the frailty of human flesh in order to reveal and in order to rescue. For your most glorious name's sake, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we close our time together, we're going to sing of the Word of God, the Father. coming to earth in the words of this final song. I'm going to invite the band to lead us.